friendships are so important. Now, friends are important for all of us, and certainly we value them, and it's important to be a part of our church family, to have close friends that are Christians as adults. But when we're young, it seems that friends influence us in a greater way than they do when we're older, especially after we have our own family and things. And so I want to spend some time, and as I was thinking about this lesson, it's a very simple lesson to think about Jesus and friendship and the lessons that our young people need to apply to their life about friends. But I was thinking that young people, I want you to know that these things I'm going to say, if you're in middle school or high school or college, that the things I'm saying are things that will really have a great influence on your future. The decisions you make about who you allow to influence you and the friends you make are going to greatly impact where you will be in 10 years, 20 years. And let me go one step farther. They're even going to impact where you will spend eternity. And this morning I want us to think about Jesus and friendship and how Jesus gives us an example of how we should handle our friendships. I want to share with you 3 points that Jesus did in his life about how he handled friends. First thing is, he chose close friends wisely. So I would say to you, choose your close friends wisely. When we think about friends, we often think about what could be called circles of friendship. And as you think about your life, and I was at the Graves County graduation, and they talked in some ways about this idea, about how they're only going to, this is one of their last time to be together as a class, and the various friendship circles, and how they'll be going on and starting new friends, things of that nature. We all understand that we have various circles of friends. We have our church friends, we have our school friends, and we have our family friends, and we even will go to new places. And I think that you're going to find is now you're going to go into new avenues of life, a college setting or military setting or wherever you're going in your new time in life. You're going to develop new friends, but you're going to keep some of the old ones. So what you're doing is creating more circles of friendships. And here's the thing, you are the center. You are the center. And you have these various circles, and what you need to be careful about is who you allow to get really close to you in the center. Because you're going to have all these circles and you're going to need to develop them and you're going to need to have relationships in all these from a business perspective, from an academic perspective, from a spiritual perspective. But you need to be careful about who you allow to get closest to you in these circles of friendship. Jesus had lots of circles of friendship. When you think about Jesus and his association, first of all, he had the multitudes. I mean, the multitudes were coming to him, and they were primarily interested in what Jesus could give them. They wanted to be healed. They wanted to be fed. They were coming, and they were seeking things from Jesus. But Jesus didn't spend all his time with the multitudes. Jesus drew a closer circle to him that we call the 12 apostles. And he spent most of his time here, the last 18 months of his life, were dedicated to training these 12 apostles. But then even closer yet were what we call the inner circle of Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Those four seemed to have a closer relationship with Jesus than any of the other. And then even within them, it seems that Andrew wasn't all as close as Peter and James and John, who were his closest friends. And when you think about these circles of Jesus' life, I think that was intentional. That's not by accident. He chose whom he allowed to get close to him, and he chose to whom he invested his time, because he knew he could not heal every sick person. He could not feed every person forever. And so he taught the multitudes, he ministered to the multitudes, but he invested in the apostles. He invested in Peter, James, and John. You see, we need to choose our close friends wisely. In fact, it's interesting in Luke chapter 6 that when Jesus is going to choose these 12 close friends, the men that he would bestow upon the responsibility of initiating the church and expanding the kingdom, we find in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16, that Jesus is going to spend a night in prayer. Verse 12 says, "In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God." He spent all night praying before he chose his friends. When you go to college, when you go to your new school, some of you will be going to high school next year, and that's exciting. And some of you are going to maybe be starting a new job in the next few months. Pray about that. Pray about it. Pray about the people that you're going to become close friends with and that you're going to associate with on a daily basis. Jesus prayed all night before he chose his apostles. You see, the people Jesus surrounded himself with meant a lot to Jesus. And he thought about it, and he did it wisely. He did it intentionally. He did it with prayer. Well, let me encourage you, as you go throughout life, to choose your close friends wisely. Number two, let me remind you that association does not mean assimilation. Association, or being around people, does not mean you become like them. And we understand that others are going to rub up on off on us. And that's why I was saying in the first point that we got to be careful who we allow to become real close. But we also must understand that we cannot insulate ourselves in a bubble, if you will, or withdraw ourselves completely from the world so that we are not associating with people of the world. We are to be salt and light in the world. We are to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And so when we look at Jesus in Mark chapter 2, the passage that Gary read, we find that he is going to intentionally choose someone who the world said, "Don't choose this person." He chooses Matthew, the tax collector, to be one of his apostles. And he does something rather astounding in this passage. He tells Matthew, when he calls him from the tax collector's booth, he tells him that he's going to come to his house, that he wants to host a meal at his house. And people spoke about Jesus because he was eating with tax collectors and sinners. In fact, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, they call Jesus a wine bibber, or someone who was a drinker of wine too heavy, and someone who ate with tax collectors and sinners. They accuse Jesus of carousing around with the wrong people. And then in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, he does, in that famous story with the wee little man, he calls Zacchaeus, another tax collector, and he tells Zacchaeus, "I'm going to your house today." Amazing. He's going to a known sinner's house, someone who extorted people, and he is going to teach a lesson there. At the end of that story, verse number 10, Jesus says, "I came to seek and save the lost." Now here's the thing, we got to be careful with this. Jesus associated with sinners. But he did not, and hear me out on this, he did not become a sinner. Jesus remained pure. He remained committed to his intentions, to his moral standards, to his goals, and he was there to influence them. And oftentimes we have to stop and ask ourselves the question, who is influencing who? Who's being influenced? You see, Jesus associated, but he did not assimilate. He was his own self. In John chapter 13, verse number 3,
The Bible says in that passage about Jesus that knowing he had come from God and he was going to God, he took that towel and washed their feet. You see, Jesus knew who he was. Let me take a little aside real quickly. Young people, no matter what different level you're going into, remember who you are and whose you are. Know that you're from God and know that you're going back to God. Know that you're representing your family. You're representing this church. Know you're representing Jesus. Know that you are to be salt and light in this world, that you have a mission to be Jesus to your friends and to your associates. And so, remember, you're going to be around a lot of other people who are going to have different values, different morals, who are going to speak differently, who are going to enjoy different forms of entertainment, and you've got to constantly be on guard because they're going to have an influence on you. And you've got to constantly fight the desire to assimilate and be like the world. And you constantly remember you've got to be like Jesus. One of the things that you need to always do so that you can stay strong is always make sure you have some like-minded individuals surrounding you. This is why attending church wherever you're at is so vital. Because you're going to be with the world. You're going to be with the world for the other 7 days. You need some time to be able to go to Bible study like on Wednesday night and Sunday morning. To be able to go to worship. To be able to go to, if you're in a facility, you're in college, for example, and there's a university ministry to college-age people. To be a part of other Christians. A group of other people who have like-minded goals and values. You need that. Because you're going to be around other people who don't have those same values so many hours of the week. And so, remember, association does not mean assimilation. Paul told us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. When Paul was saying in verses 9 and 10, a very important statement. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with the sexually immoral person. Not at all meaning the sexually immoral of the world, or the greedy, or the swindlers, or the idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. But now I'm writing to you, not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or idolatry, rivalry or drunkenness. Paul says, I want you to know that you're going to be around these sins, sexually immoral, the idolaters, the greedy, the swindlers. I want you to know you're going to have some association with them. You can't help it. But don't be like them. Don't be like them. The third characteristic that Jesus teaches us is to be the kind of friend you want. Be the kind of friend you want. In John chapter 15, Jesus talks about friendship and he talks about love and the kind of friend he is to us. And in verse number 9, we read this. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. For this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. For greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have
heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Notice that Jesus says some things about friendship here. He says that he's the kind of friend to them that we should be to others. You see, he loved them. He calls us his friend. And he said that he laid down his life for his friends. He's willing to sacrifice for his friends. What kind of friend do you want? Proverbs talks about this idea that if we want to have friends, we need to be friendly. Think about what kind of friend do you want? First of all, you want a friend who's going to rejoice in the success of others. That is, they're not always going to be jealous. They're not going to be envious. They're not always going to be, whenever you're excited about something, they're not always going to be against and downplaying your successes. When you come in for making a good grade on the test, they're not going to tell you about how when they had the class last semester, they made such a better grade. They're going to rejoice with you. They're going to be happy with that. They're going to rejoice in your successes. You rejoice in the success of others. When you find yourself not willing to do so, then what you need to recognize is you are being jealous. You're being envious. You need to fight that by choosing to rejoice in the successes of others. You need to be loving and generous. You're going to find that as you have friends, that it's going to be different times in life, financially maybe, or with friendship, where you're going to feel like you're giving more than they're giving. Sometimes you have to draw boundaries there, but a good friend, like Jesus says, is willing to be loving, to be considerate, that thinks about what's going on in your friend's life, thinks about what they're going through, and tries to help them out, tries to love them, tries to care for them, that is generous. It's not always wrapped up in making sure you get what you deserve. You get every dollar that's coming to you. But you're caring, you're generous, you're willing to share. And then a good friend is someone, Jesus is saying here as well, that is willing to listen. Jesus talks about, you are my friends if you do what I command you. A good friend of Jesus is willing to listen. You'll find that you'll have a lot of friends that like to be talking about themselves. And there's some need to do that. You want to talk about yourself at times, but a good friend is someone who's willing to listen, to understand and to care and to empathize with what they're dealing with. Be the kind of friend you want, someone who rejoices in your successes, who's loving and generous, and who listens. You see, Jesus is teaching us that we need to be forgiving and understanding. Wouldn't you want to have this kind of friend? Then be that kind of friend to others. When you think about your life and you think about friendship, I want to come back to what I started with. And that is, this lesson, it's important for all of us as adults, as we're choosing friends. But let me say, if you're between the ages of 10 and 30, it's really important for you. Because it's going to impact your future. And it can greatly impact your spiritual life. Whom you choose to have as your close friends. The kind of friend you choose to be. And very important, whether you choose to assimilate with the world or whether you draw clear lines of association and you choose to influence them. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, we're going to sing a hymn to encourage you. If you need to put Christ on in baptism, what a wonderful day to do such. If you need to be restored, please come as together we stand and sing.